There is a phrase that's used over and over again in the book of Acts to describe people who believe the gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord. And this phrase, which is used over and over again throughout the book of Acts, is the people of the way. The people of the way. Let me read you a few passages. First of all, in the 19th chapter of Acts, verse 9, it says they spake evil of that way. And then in verse 23 of that same chapter, it says there arose no small stir about that way. That way. And Paul wrote in Acts 22:4, or he said in Acts 22:4, I persecuted that way unto death. They spake evil of that way. And Paul said, I persecuted that way. And then again, when Paul met God on the road to Damascus, the scripture says that he was on a mission to arrest the people of that way. Everybody he could find of that way, he was to arrest them. In other words, it says, and Saul, breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and secured letters that if he found any of that way, men or women, he was to bring them bound to prison. The people of that way. Now, my intention today is to describe these people. These people of that peculiar and strange way. And the Apostle Peter deals with it as best of anyone that I can find in the Scripture, just describing the people of that way. He says in chapter 2, he says they're a chosen generation. He says they're a holy nation. He says they are a peculiar, special people. He says there are people who've been called out of darkness into light. He says they're the people of God. He says there are people who have obtained mercy of the Lord. But it seems like in chapter 1, now he says all this in chapter 2, they're a chosen generation, they're a holy nation, they're a peculiar people, they're called out of darkness into God's light. But in chapter 1 of 1 Peter, I want us to look at several verses here in chapter 1 that are so plain in describing the people of that way, the people of God, the people who believe on Christ. Now, why don't you get your Bible? I'm going to go right down the line, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, right on down through verse 8 or 9, and show you this description that Peter gives of the people of that way, the people that were so despised back in the days of the apostles, the people who were persecuted, and how Peter describes them. Now, this while you're finding the scripture, the book of 1 Peter, it's called a general epistle. Now, the reason it's called a general epistle is because it's not addressed to any particular church or it's not addressed to any particular person. It's just addressed to all believers in general. And it's written by the apostle Simon Peter. And it's said to be the oldest epistle in the New Testament. I don't know that for a fact, but they say it's the oldest epistle in the New Testament. Well, let's begin with verse 1. And the apostle Peter, the title of this message now is The People of the Way. And the apostle Peter here describes the people of that way, the people of God, believers who love Christ, who look to Christ. Now, verse 1, Peter calls them, he says in verse 1, they're strangers. Strangers. Here's what he says. Look at it. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. Strange. Why does he call them strangers? The people of God, strangers. Well, they're not strangers to the Lord Jesus Christ, are they? Our Lord said, I know my sheep, am known of mine, I call them by name. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them I must bring, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Christ knows his people. They're not strangers to him. And then they're not strangers to the angels, because our Lord talking about his little ones, and that's what he calls believers, little ones. He said, except you be converted and become as a little child, you shall in no way wise enter the kingdom of heaven. So he calls us little ones. And he says the angels of these little ones always appear in heaven before the Father on their behalf. These angels are guardian angels. And these angels, Hebrews 1:14 says, are ministering spirits sent to minister to those who are the heirs of salvation. So they're not strangers to the angels. And they're not strangers to the heavenly host. They're not strangers to the heavenly Father. They're not strangers to one another, because they're one body, one family. He's the vine, we're the branch. He's the head, we're the body. Christ said, who is my mother? Who are my brothers and sisters? These who do the will of God, the same as my mother, brothers and sisters. So they're not strangers to one another, for they're one family in the Lord and one body. Well, why does Peter call them strangers? Well, I'll tell you why. They're strangers in this world. People who love Christ, who believe Christ, people who love the gospel of God's grace, who give God the glory and the honor and the praise, they're strangers to this world. They're strangers in the world and to the world. Listen to what the Lord says. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. It hated me before it hated you. He said, if you were of the world would love its own. You see, but you're not of this world. I've chosen you out of this world. Therefore, the world hateth you. In fact, our Lord said that a man's enemies and foes may be those of his own household. He may be despised in his own house, in his own community, in his own neighborhood, place where he works. This is just a fact. True believers need not expect the friendship of this world, because this world is not the friend of God. True believers need not expect the love of this world, because this world does not love God, does not love Christ. So that's the first way that the apostle describes the people of this way. He says they're strangers, strangers, strangers in the world and to the world. And they're despised and hated by the world. And then look at verse 2. Chapter 1, verse 2. In verse 2, Peter calls the people of the way the elect. He says they are the elect of God. Peter to the strangers scattered throughout these various places, elect. According to the foreknowledge of God, through sanctification of the Spirit, belief of the truth. You know, our Lord said to his disciples, you didn't choose me, I chose you. We love him because he first loved us. We choose Christ, but only because he chose us. David, writing in the Psalms, chapter 65, said, blessed, happy is that man whom the Lord chooseth and causeth to approach unto him. Yes, he chose us. God chose us in Christ. He chose us before the foundation of the world. He chose us not because we're holy, but that we should be holy. He chose us according to the good pleasure of his own will, like Noah of old. Every believer has found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Like Abraham of old, whom God called out of his father's house, out of the land of idolatry, out of Ur of the Chaldees, God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Like Jacob of old, of whom God said, Jacob have a love, but Esau have a hated. God has loved us. He set his love upon us. Herein is love. Not that we love God. He loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Like David, anointed of God, we have been anointed, chosen, ordained, elected by God Almighty to salvation. They are the elect of God. The people of this way, They're strangers. Strangers to the world in an unfriendly, hostile world. But they're God's elect. He knows them. He set His love upon them from eternity. He said, I've drawn you with an everlasting love. And then thirdly, look at verse 3. Peter says these people of the way are born again. Now look at verse 3. Let's read it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again. According to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a living hope. What does this mean, begotten us again? Well, begotten is to be born. Begotten us, born. That's, we're born of God. We're born the first time now of our natural parents. And that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And from our natural parents, we are born the first time and we receive fleshly life. And like all the sons of Adam, we're born in sin, shapen in iniquity, conceived in sin, brought forth speaking lies under the curse and condemnation of the law. That's the way every human being is born into this world. The Scripture says they are strained from the womb. They go astray as soon as they're born, speaking lies. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's how we're born the first time. We're born without God, without hope, without help, without Christ in this world. Aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and the kingdom of God. Now the people of the way have been born again, the second time. They're born this time of the Spirit of God, born the first time of natural parents, born the second time of God, born the first time fleshly, born the second time spiritual. We have received spiritual life. Now look at that verse 3 again. It says, He hath begotten us. Who? He, God. God hath begotten us. We're born of God, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, born of God. He hath begotten us. He hath begotten us again. Again. That is, we're born the second time. We're born spiritually. We're born from above. We're born of the Word of God and of the Spirit of God. Again. It's a new birth. He hath begotten us again to a living hope. Now, when we're born of our parents the first time, what's the average age now? 72? Death? The flesh is going to die. The flesh will go back to the dust from whence it came. Dust thou art, to dust thou shalt return. When our parents give us birth, when we come into this world born of our mothers, there's this one goal, there's one objective. That's the grave. That's where the flesh is headed, the grave. But God hath begotten us unto a living hope. When we're born the second time of the Spirit of God, born again, we're not born to die. He said, He that believeth on me shall never die. I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm come that they might have life more abundantly. You see that? The people of the way, strangers to this world, elect of God, elect according to the foreordination of God, and born again unto a living hope. He hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The fact that our hope is a living hope is guaranteed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the Son of God. Then verse 4, Peter says the people of the way are rich people. Rich. Look at it. He hath begotten us again unto a living hope and to an inheritance. An inheritance. Everybody knows what an inheritance is. And we have an inheritance. And it's not like an inheritance here on this earth. Someone dies and leaves you a house or a car or some money, and after a while that's all gone. This inheritance is incorruptible. It's not of the earth. It's heavenly blessings. It's undefiled. It's untouched by sin. It fadeth not away. It's reserved. If you ever called ahead at a restaurant, what do you call for? To reserve a table. And they reserve the table, they put a sign on there, reserved, and your name on it. And you may be in another part of town. That table's down here at the restaurant on Main Street. And it's going to sit there and wait on you. You get there and occupy that place. And that's what God says. He says there's an inheritance, through the Apostle Peter here, there's an inheritance waiting on these strangers, these elect, these born-again people of God. You know, some of God's people on the earth have plenty, but some don't. Some are in poverty. Some of God's people on the earth have comfortable living. Some do not. I have some friends in Mexico and in Africa and other places that are very, very poor. They don't have hardly anything. Some of God's people on this earth prosper. Some do not. All of them don't prosper. But I tell you this, in Christ, all of them are rich. All of them are rich because they have an inheritance reserved in heaven. In Christ Jesus the Lord, every believer has a glorious future. A glorious future when this life is over. John wrote about it in Revelation 21. He said, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they'll be his people. And God shall wipe all tears from their eyes, and there'll be no more death. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more crying. For the former things are all passed away. Behold," God says, "I make all things new." My friends, don't put too much confidence in this life and the things of this life, and don't put too much emphasis on the things of this earth. It's luxuries and its entertainment and its possessions. Having food and clothing, therewith let us be content. Why? We have an inheritance. Our testator, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his blessed will and covenant, has left us an inheritance. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so while you may not have a great deal here, it really doesn't matter. If you got enough to eat and clothes to wear and a place to sleep, we ought to be thankful. Paul said, "I've learned in whatsoever state I am to be content." God's people are rich people, all of them. Not now, but they have an inheritance reserved in heaven, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, and the names already on the table, waiting for you to occupy it. All right, verse 5. Here's the fifth thing. Peter says the people of the way are a kept people. K-E-P-T. That's right. It says we are kept by the power of God through faith. Christ said, "I give unto my sheep eternal life. They'll never perish, never perish, never perish." Paul said, he over there in Romans, that nothing could separate us from the love of God. Who is he that condemneth? Christ has died. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? He said in Philippians, "He that hath begun a good work in you shall perform it, shall perfect it, shall complete it, finish it in the day of Christ." Christ said, "All that my Father giveth me will come to me, and him that cometh to me I'll in no wise cast out." Jude wrote, "Unto him who's able to keep us from falling and to present us holy, unblameable before his glorious presence." We're kept people. Now then, listen to me. I know that believers, the people of the way, who come to Christ, they'll keep on coming to Christ. They'll continue to believe on Christ. They'll continue in the faith. They'll keep on walking with the King. They will persevere. But let me tell you something. Our strength is not in ourselves, but in Him. We don't keep ourselves. We don't hold His hand. He holds ours. That's what that says there. Listen. Who are kept, these elect strangers, these born again people, heirs of God, are kept by the power of God. That's right. I'll never leave them, he said. I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but you'll never leave him either. But you'll never leave him because he'll never leave you. I'll not forsake them, he says, and they'll not forsake me. But I'll tell you, you'll not forsake him because he won't forsake you. He's the one that keeps us. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Romans 11:29 says, the gifts of God are without change and without repentance. So we're kept people. God's going to keep his people. All that my Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I'll in no wise cast out. I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. This is the will of him that sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I will lose nothing. I will lose nothing, but raise him up at the last day. All right, verse 6 and 7. Now, something else about these people. They're elect. They're strangers. They're begotten again. They're born again. They're rich, and they're kept people, kept in his hand. He will not let us go. And then these people, verse 6 and 7, are a tried people. Now, listen to me. Their way on earth is not easy. It's difficult. Verse 6, you rejoice. Yeah, you rejoice in Christ. You rejoice in that inheritance. You rejoice in his grace. But now for a season, verse 6, you are in heaviness. Heaviness. You know anything about heaviness? Through many trials and many temptations. Why? That the trial of your faith, that's what's going on. God's trying your faith. God's proving your faith. God's strengthening your faith. That the trial of your faith, that faith is much more precious than gold. And gold is tried in a fire. Gold is tried in the fire. In other words, when a man wants to purify gold and melt off all the dross and the impurities, he puts it in the fire, but he knows how hot to make the fire. And the owner of the gold is never very far away from the furnace. And he puts it in there and he knows when to take it out. And that's what he's saying here, that your faith, the trial of your faith, much more precious to God than that gold is to the owner, though it be tried with fire, that your faith might be tried also and might be found to the praise and honor and glory of Almighty God at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, believers are the people of God, and they have a glorious future with Christ. But on this earth, as I said, their way is not easy. They're subject to many trials and many sorrows and many heartaches. Our Lord said that. He said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I've defeated the world. I've conquered the world. All who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer. That's what the Scripture said. If you be without chastisement, you're not sons. You're not sons of God. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And these trials through which we're going are ordained of our Father, God Almighty. I hear preachers talk about all the trouble you have is caused by Satan. Not if you're a child of God. Satan can't touch you without God's permission. He can't touch a child of God unless God permits him to. Our trials are ordained to the Father. Our trials are for our good. All things are for our good. Our trials will strengthen our faith. Our trials will produce patience. And these trials refine our faith and bring glory to our God. All right, last of all, number 8, verse 8. The people of the way, they love Christ. That's right, they believe Christ and they rejoice in Christ. He said here, read it. He said, you haven't seen Christ with the natural eye, whom having not seen, you haven't seen him with this eye, but you love him, and you believe him, and you rejoice in him with joy unspeakable. There are three words which describe a believer's relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are three words that Paul gave in 1 Corinthians 13, faith, hope, and love. And that's the very three words he uses right here. Look at verse 8 again. Will you look at it? Whom having not seen, you love. And though you see him not, you believe. That's faith. And you rejoice with joy unspeakable. That's a good hope. Faith, hope, and love. We have Christ. We have Christ. We believe him, we love him, and we rejoice in him with joy unspeakable. I was preaching down in Mexico a few months ago, last winter, and there was a chief cowboy on a ranch down there that had been listening to the missionary for a long time. And I went down there and preached, and the missionary translated. And this cowboy, his name's Fidel, he came to knowledge of Christ. He believed the gospel, and the missionary baptized him. He'd been listening a long time, and God revealed the gospel to his heart. And so he quit going to the Alcoholics Anonymous meetings. He'd always gone to those. He'd been bad to drink. But he quit going, and one of the ladies there came to him and said, Fidel said, you're not coming to the Alcoholics Anonymous meetings anymore. You've missed several weeks. He said, I don't need it anymore. I don't need it. She said, what do you mean you don't need it anymore? He said, I don't need it anymore. I have Christ, and I don't need AA. And I'll tell you this, when you have Christ, you have all you need. For in him you have wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Whom having not seen, we love, believe, and rejoice with joy unspeakable. The people of the way, if you want this message, write for it. Send $2. This message will be on one side of the tape, and next week's message will be on the other side. We'll mail it to you by return mail. Till next week, God bless you, everyone.